Blog Talk Radio. You have tuned into Home, Helen on Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I'm so glad that you have joined us on today. So come on in and just make yourself right at home. Grab your Bibles. We have another glorious day with the Lord on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I want you to know God wants you to dream and believe all over again. It's not over till God says it is over. And I come to tell you and to encourage your heart through words of empowerment on today, living victoriously through the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is coming to your house today. So on today, our lesson is going to be praising the Lord. When we consider the greatness of God, his mighty kingdom, and his kindness to mankind, it is really, truly, child of God, our privilege and our duty to praise him. In spite of what goes on, in spite of what's going down, in spite of what we see or hear, it is truly our duty to praise ye the Lord. Now, I want us to take a look at on today Psalms 145, verses number 1 through verse number 13. And we're going to read that together in your hearing, or I can just read it unto you. And it reads from this line, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy work to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wonderful works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the greatness, thy great goodness, and sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk to thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endure throughout all generations. Psalms 145 and 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. So far, the reading of the scripture. Now, let's take a look here at what we'll be looking at on today. We're going to be talking about declaring who God is. God is God. God is King, God is eternal, and God deserves our daily praise. Then we're going to declaring God's greatness, and we're going to look at all of his greatness, and then declaring God's praise. And so that's where we're going to be going, and then finally declaring God's mighty kingdom and God's kindness. And so we're going to take a look at those various aspects of the goodness and the kindness of God and see what the Lord has. Let's take a look here. It says, many have described Psalms 145 as a pure praise. It is the last of the acoustic psalms, those in which the first letter of each verse follows the Hebrew alphabet in regular order. It is one of the 73 Psalms attributed to David, which scholars believe he wrote near the end of his life. While David and other Hebrew authors rejoice in God's greatness, Psalms 145 stands out like a gem of remarkable splendor among the rest. We compare it to a very fine piece of jewelry because one beautiful expression follows another like a bead on a bracelet. This psalm, in fact, is ultimately uniquely entitled David's Psalm of Praise, and it is an intimate and incomparable tribute to the goodness of Almighty God. In the King James Version, we find the word praise and praised five times in the 21 verses of Psalms 145. These are translations of four distinction Hebrew words. In one instance, the original Hebrew words mean to make a show, to celebrate, to boast, while a second means to commend, to glory. And a third one, translated praise, means to revere or to worship. And the last refer to laudation or hymn. And you'll find that over in the Strong Exhaustive Concordian of the Bible. Now, the psalmist used an array of other words and expression to speak of the greatness and the grandeur of the Lord. David's soul was simply overwhelmed with the spirit of gratitude as he thought of how glorious God really was. Solomon's declaration regarding God's probably stemmed from the influence of his father. There is no God like thee in heaven above and on earth beneath, who keep his covenant and mercy with thy servant that walk before thee with all thy heart. 1 Kings 8:23. Now we find that over in the word of the Lord. Now let's take a look at one of our points that we'll be talking about on today. The first one is declaring who God is. What a wonderful privilege and a transforming experience it is to know who God really is. Millions of people have some concept of a supreme being who rules the universe. However, too often human ideas about God is warped and twisted. Authentic revelation of God did not come through the 7th centuries to a Zillock, nor did it come during the early 19th century to a self-proclaimed prophet in the upstate New York who taught and stated that an angel took him to a book. The full revelation of God came through the descendant of David, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. And what a revelation. And we talked about that in one of our show in regards to Jesus revealed the glory of God. And you might want to go back and listen to that or get the tape and thing series on that, because it gave a clear revelation and understanding about the word of the Lord, of God, Jesus revealing who God was. Now let's look here. God is God. Praise for the Almighty is a major theme of the last six Psalms, Psalms 145 and 150. In fact, the last five of all begin with an exhortation, praise ye the Lord. Each one praises in crescendo of adoration. 12 times in the sixth verse of the last Psalm, the author used the word praise. The last one concluded with a burst of adoration. Praise ye the Lord, which literally means hallelujah to the Lord. And you'll see that over in Psalms 150, verse number 6. Now, when we look at Psalms 145 and verse number 1, David addressed the Lord directly and personally, who God was Elohim, his creator and supreme object of his worship. Without hesitation, he unblatantly declared his intent. The shepherd king will extol, exalt, lift up his Lord. He was intended on honoring God's perfection and proclaiming his wonderful deeds. There is none other like the Lord. When God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptian at the Red Sea, Moses saying, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? Exodus 15 and 11, the Amplified Bible. Molech, Balaam, and Ashtar, Dagon, were nothing to David, for they were powerless, perverse, pagan deities. David was confident that his God was mighty and magnificent. Now let's look at another point. Our next point would be God is king. The psalmist declared that God was his sovereign king. God had anointed David ruler first of Judah and then of all Israel, but he realized that all power ultimately belonged to the Lord. He could boast of nothing within himself. The psalmist Asaph also observed this truth. See Psalm 75, 6 through 7. The least esteemed of Jesse's son, David had humble beginning when Saul came to his home to anoint a king. David had ascended to the throne and expressed his desire to build the temple. God spoke through Nathan, the prophet, and reminded him of his background. And you'll see this over in 1 Chronicles, chapter number 17, verse number 7. Who could have dreamed that a ruddy farm boy with a harp in his hand and a song in his heart would eventually become such a great monarch? Now, let's look at the next thing. God is eternal. As many of the Psalms, the writer expressed an appreciation for what God had done in the past and anticipation for what he would do in the future. David was confident because the Lord had proven himself faithful. God had made an everlasting covenant with the king and his descendants, and that he would establish David's throne forever. See 2 Samuel 7, verse 13 and 16, Isaiah 55 and 3. Luke referred to these promises as the sure mercies of David because they were unfailing and destined to be fulfilled. See Acts 13 and 34. Even death could not nullify this covenant. Although crucified, David promised successor Jesus Christ would raise from the grave before he saw corruption. And you'll see this over in Acts, chapter number 13, verses 35 to 37. David knew that God had spoken to him of distant future. See 2 Samuel 7 and 18. He knew that one would have held eternity in his hand, and his gratitude he vowed. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Psalms 145 and 1. Now, when we look at the next phase as we transitioning through this, the next one is that God deserves daily praise. Life sometimes seems as mysteries as changing faces of the sea. One day there may be a calm and everything seems to be flowing smoothly along, and on the next, the ocean bears a hostile face and a gigantic waves of difficulty follow another. Whether the seas are on its pelic or trouble, God remains the same. He is the one great constant of our life. David had his share of trouble as he felt the pain of betrayal by those whom he had been trustworthy. He knew the treachery of those who had gladly taken his life. However, David was fully persuaded that he could trust God and promise him, every day I will bless thee, Psalms 145 and 2. Now, let's take a look. And David is a perfect example of us being able to daily praise God in spite of the vicissitudes of life and what goes on in our life. It's not about what's going on. It's about what you're doing in the midst of this here, or what you're going through, and knowing that God is going to tremendously bless and bring us out. And the only thing that's going to be steadfast and unmovable, it would be God. And so once we learn how to engage in worshiping and praising God in spite of what we go through, that's how we can gain the propel your victory. Amen. And things. And so God will tremendously bless us as we continue being steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord our God. He wants to do it, and he will do it. And think, all we have to do is hold fast to the work of God's unchanging hand and things, and so that God will continue to bless us and keep us as never before. Now, let's look at the next point today. We're going to look at that God greatness, declaring God's greatness. Don't you know, child of God, we must declare God's greatness and things. Let's take a look at that and things. And I want to say, shoot out a praise the Lord to each and every one of you that are on air today and those that are tuning in. And I want you to know my thoughts and prayers are with you, and I'm praying with you. And keep up the great work, and don't ever, ever stop and things doing the work of the Lord. And we will be checking your sites as well, too, and things. And so let's get back here to declaring God's greatness. Jesus once said, except you be converted and become as a little child or children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at that conversion that a lot of time we can get overthrown. God wants us just to come as innocent as a little child and begin to serve them and laying down all our preconceived notions and all our motives and all of our pains and all of our disappointment and laying all those things down and going following after God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And so he wants us to come unless we be converted and become as a little child. And some of us, sometimes the conversion piece and becoming as a little child must still take place in our hearts and our minds and things. One may notice how the simple things of nature can transfix a little child, a gulpy swimming in a fishbowl, a bird singing in a tree, or an ant squabbling across the sidewalk may cause a child to stop and to look on with wonder and amazement as an adult will pass by without any thought. The youngster, everything is new, fresh, and remarkable. And so it is with God. God wants us to keep that as beautiful, as a new and a fresh as we transpire and move through here and things. God is going to tremendously bless his people. And ask you just one moment after I make a comment here and things to one of my dear friends as we hear and things, we'll get right back and things. And so let's look here. Now let's look at this here. God's greatness is unsearchable. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Psalms 145:3. David maintained his sense of awe for the Almighty. And I want to just ask a question and put a question. Are you still awe about the Almighty, the greatness of God, and what God is revealing unto you as the people of God? He is a simple, his was a simple faith, and his mind was uncluttered by man-made theories and speculation. For the psalmist, the greatness of the Almighty was just too vast for him to completely understand. Even Job stated that the Lord do great things and is unsearchable, marvelous things without numbers. That's what Job 5:9 states. The might and the majesty of the Lord has always impressed godly people. The Apostle Paul marveled, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. You'll find that over in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Now, let's take here and look at another one. God's work spanned generations. Unlike so many accomplishments of mankind, the works of the Lord are never forgotten, nor do they fade away. See Psalms 145:4. The miracle of the past and the wonders of great deliverance in the Bible are alive because they live in believers' hearts. Often the Holy Ghost quickened the word of God to us, and we sense something of what the Israelites felt when they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And we feel what Miriam, the woman left, felt as they sang and danced before the Lord. We may experience the wonders that those who witnessed the fire fall on Mount Carmel since. We may also walk in the burning fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See Daniel 3, verse 28 and 30. Standing in a room with the door closed, we may envision the risen Christ's sudden appearance, and like the assembled disciple, experience joy, delight, and exaltation filling our heart. See Psalms 20 and 20. God's work indeed transcends all generations of mankind. Now, and we can be to the praise and the glory of our Father. God's wonderful, wondrous works are to be declared. Psalms 145 and 5 say, on the glorious splendor of our majesty and the wonders work I will meditate. And that's what you find over at the Amplified Bible. Praise always begin with a thankful heart, although it may take on other forms of expression as well. Praise may express itself with grateful tears, ardent laughter, in a quiet whisper, or exuberant shout. In a word, full of grumbling and complaining where circumstances are often dismissed and disencouragement, praise can become the rainbow in our storm-darkened cloud. And when we begin to just start praising God in the midst when the clouds are hanging low, and it would seem when God is not around us, when we learn how to just lift him up and show forth the praise and glory unto his name, God will bless you. One may ask what works of the Lord are worthy of praise. We can begin by praising him for the air we breathe, for the light of the day, for the water that refreshes our body. We should acknowledge that the Lord does all things well. He is truly in charge of everything in the universe. By praising him for these things, we declare his wonderful works on a daily basis. And when we begin to just to look around, we'll be able to see all of the beautiful and splendors of God. Even looking at a flower, looking at the fish, looking at animals, you can just see the splendor and the magnificence of God, of how God's glory exudes through all creation. Amen. And thanking God that we, as human beings, can able to communicate and commune with God. And even though all of the animal in the animal kingdom are showing forth the beauty and splendor of God, of his magnificence. So when you look at the or go to the zoo or see the animal, don't see it just as a dog again. Just maybe see it as it is a dog, but look at it as the work and the mighty hand of God, of God's creation, of the different types of dogs or the different types of animals. Those are God's creation. Even the trees, they show forth in the praise of God and things. When you look at that tree, look at it again and see the splendor and the glory of God, of all the different magnificent trees that God has wrought for us to enjoy and for us to enjoy and looking at. And for each one of their purposes, too, providing shade, some providing just the beauty of the Lord. Amen. All of his birds, and we can just go on and on and on. And just when we begin to look at the magnificence of God in every aspect of our life, we can just give him the praise. And even when you travel from state to state or from country to country or each state, there is something magnificent that's displaying the splendor and the glory of God. And if you're in tune with God, God will show it. God will let you see it. That's why he said be converted and be like a little child, because the little child can see the glory and the splendor and the newness in everything we see. We can see the glory of God. God is glorious. When we declare God's goodness, many people have openly blessed the Lord for their deliverance from some kind of natural tragedy. Others have acknowledged God's goodness after he healed their body. Still others testify to some remarkable answer to prayer. If that is true of people who have only a little knowledge of the Lord, how much more expressive should the child of God be when who have experienced New Testament salvation? David proclaimed, The Lord is gracious. Psalms 145:8. Grace is the unmerited favor that God shows towards an individual who were one received what God does not deserve. The original meaning of gracious in the Hebrew language suggests that someone has bent or stooped in kindness to an inferior. We'll see that over in Strong Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. What we do in our own strength have no merit whatsoever, but what the Lord does for us and in us is an outpour of his grace. Unspeakable grace has found its greatness fulfillment in Jesus. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And you'll find that over in Romans 5:6. Now let's take a look at another aspect. God is full of compassion. While suffering excruciating pain, one may wonder if God really cares about mankind. Does God really care when someone is assaulted or raped, a teenage girl who lives on the street, or does he care for the adult who has contracted AIDS through an unfaithful spouse? David knew the answer. God, he explained, is full of compassion. Psalms 145:8. He's full of compassion. To show compassion literally means to intensely suffer with another. God is painfully distressed when people suffer and indeed yearns to help the helpless and hurting. So many times people wonder in their mind, well, where was God? Why couldn't God? And things, but God is full of compassion. I don't care what the situation may be and things, God's hand is still yet going and he's reaching his hand out. Now, many times people reject it and renounce God's hand. But I don't know about you. I'm not going to reject, nor will I renounce God, nor the things of God and things. But as we hold fast, as never before, God will bless us and keep our minds stayed on him. Because he said he'll keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Amen? So let's look at God is also merciful to all. Mercy is like that. There was a young man was struggling sitting in an evangelistic service. He felt that he had failed God and wondered if there was any hope. When the evangelist asked anyone who wished to get right with God to raise their hand, and the young man's hand went up, and as he went down on his knees, a scripture came to him that have not even known was in the Bible. He have not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. That's Psalm 103:10. That night became a turning point for that young man's life. And we must recognize God have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor have God dealt with us according to our iniquities and the things that we have done. But he has dealt with us through his mercy. And mercy is like that. The Hebrew words, hesed, denotes forgiveness, forbearance, and loving kindness. David was correct when he stated that God was of great mercy, Psalms 145:8. Mercy is one of the major attributes of the Lord. It has amazing depth. Through grace, we receive what we do not deserve. Through mercy, we do not receive what we deserve. Now, declaring God's praise, and as I was talking about in this particular aspect, we was talking about the mercies of God. God is merciful, and God deal with our not according to our sins. Over in Psalms 103:10, he said he have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And things God have not awarded us according to our iniquities and things, but he has awarded us according to his mercy. He looks on us and sees and have mercies upon us as children of God is helpless and things. And so declaring, let's look at another aspect of declaring God's praise. We're never closer to heaven than when we are expressing our heartfelt praise to God. The book of Revelation described the four living creatures perpetually saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Revelation 4 and 8. God's work, praise him. And as I was talking earlier, it is the works of the Lord that really actually praise him. "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord," Psalms 145 and 10. As we do recognize the works of the Lord, we'll praise him. And we're going to take a look at that in things. And check and find out, you know, and take a look at our innate faith about how God's work praise him. You know, if we don't praise him, the Bible said a rock will praise him. And so as we as children of God, we must purpose in our mouth that when we come to the house of the Lord, we come in with praise. We come in with thanksgiving. We come in to lift up the name of the Lord. The wonders of creation apparently awe the psalmist as he pondered God's power and omniscience. It was David, after all, who had made the remarkable statement, "The heaven declared the glories of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork." Psalms 19 and 1. David believed that every day was a lesson and every night a duty of the Lord's greatness. "One may not hear the stars, yet they speak throughout the earth, unwavering and unwavering. The sun appear as the bridegroom in his splendor, and a strong man in a race. If the heavens are only God's throne and the earth is his footstone," Isaiah 66 and 1, Acts 7 and 49, "one may wonder what his eternal kingdom will be like. Nothing the mankind have made or will ever make can compare to the celestial throne room." In the book of Revelation, John saw the glorified Christ and fell at his feet as dead. But he also viewed the Lord's enthroned. Revelation 14 and 10, or Revelation 10 and Revelation 4 and 10 declares that the 24 elders cast their crown before the one who sat on the throne as they proclaim, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure, and they are and were created." Revelation 4:11. That's what the word of the Lord says. And let's continue moving forward here as we lift up the name of the Lord and give him the praise and glory that's due unto his wonderful name and things, and see the blessings of the Lord. That's what the Bible said. The blessings of the Lord maketh us rich. And it says that it add no sorrow. It adds no sorrow, child of God. And that's the blessed piece about the Lord our God, that it adds no sorrow. And let's take a look at that and see what the word of the Lord is saying to our church. Here it is. It says here, the word of the Lord states over here, it says, "There is little wonder that Christian praise, or child of God, praise the Lord. God is not only the creator of a vast and complex universe, but he is also attentive to every facet of our life. David was simply amazed at the thought, "When I consider thy heaven and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the star which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Psalms 8, verses 3 through 4. Herbert Locker pointed out the extremities and the apparent opposition that can be found and united in God whom we serve. God can mind high things, yet condescend to man and matter of low estate. Also, we can see how God is able to be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. God loves his people and care about him and care about his people. And so let's look here. That is astonishing. The one who knows the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name, also counts the numbers of hair on our heads and know our names. We must recognize that God stopped low stoops low to conquer our stubborn hearts. No wonder he revealed in his might and rejoiced in his meekness. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2 and 8, that we might be saved, that we might give forth our life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be the men and the women of God that God has called us out to be. He humbled himself. He came obedient unto death that we might live, that we may come and show forth the praises of our God. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the beauty of his holiness, and we praise him. So let's look here at our next point. Our next point will be declaring God's mighty kingdom. A glorious kingdom. David addressed the Lord in Psalms 145 and 11 by stating that all his people shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. This reminds us of Solomon's kingdom. The Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon and observed his wisdom, saw the house he had built, and viewed the food on his table and the attention of his servant. Overwhelmed by what she saw and heard, the queen declared, "Behold, the half was not have not even been told." 1 Kings 10 and 7. However, the world splendor of Solomon's kingdom is only the type of a fair and more magnificent kingdom. Jesus referred to David's son, but he told the Jews of his day, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Luke 11 and 31. Now, let's look at another one. At a powerful kingdom, declaring God's powerful kingdom. David continued to pour out his praise to the Lord. He declared that those who have partaken of God's mercy would talk of thy power, Psalms 145 and 11. It is in the darkest of night, at times when mankind's needs are the greatest, that the Lord manifests his awesome strength. After years of opposition in Egypt, God declared his people by his strong right hand and delivered them by his strong right hand. And you'll see that over in Exodus 15 and 6 and Exodus 15 and 12. It was in the upper room after everything seemed lost that Jesus' disciples received the Holy Ghost. Immediately after the tribulation, the Son of Man shall appear to establish his visible kingdom with power and great glory. You'll see that over in Matthew 24 and 30. And so God is still yet delivering, and God is still yet showing himself great and mighty and delivering his people with his mighty outstretched hand, his strong right hand. Now let's look at another phase over in declaring the majestic kingdom, God's majestic kingdom. Believers are told other or are to tell others of God's mighty act and the glorious majesty of his kingdom, Psalms 145 and 12. We are to share the wonderful things that God has done for us and praise him for the splendor and magnificence of his dominion. Although we do not see the Lord on his heavenly throne now, he reigns in our heart. The world pictured Jesus on a crown of thorns, but one day they shall see him with the crown of glory. And we'll see that over in Revelation 14 and 14. His kingdom is majestic, and he's still doing great and magnificent things in and through the life of his people. Come on and just put your hands together for God. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Now let's hear an everlasting kingdom. Disdained of the Lord, many people have boasted of their might and their power. Adolf Hitler, for instance, bragged about the third empire and kingdom would last for thousands of years. In the end, however, all the self-glorification came to nothing. No flesh shall glory in God's presence. You'll see First Corinthians 1, verse 29. What a comfort it is to know that the Lord's provincial reign will last forever. The psalmist expressed it this way, Thy kingdom is everlasting, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Psalms 145 and 13. Nebuchadnezzar and king of Babylon has a dream of an image of a great brightness and of an awesome appearance. This image represented the world kingdom, each succeeding the other until God established his everlasting kingdom. And you'll see that over in Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 44. Now let's look at our final point on today, is declaring God's kindness. And so when we begin to look at why should we pray, praise God. We can praise God for his a mighty kingdom. Praise him for his kindness. And let's look at his kingdom. His kindness. God lifted up the fallen. The Lord is well aware of our struggles and our hardship. Be assured God is always actively involved in the welfare of his own. Psalms 145 and 14 reveals that he upholds all that falls and raises up all those that he has are bowed down. Yes, we do falter and stumble and even fall. However, a good person does not have to remain in that condition. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord shall grasp his hand in support and uphold him. That's what the Amplified Bible says. And the Bible said that he will stretch out forth his hand and bear us up. And he said a good man will fall 7 times and the Lord will raise them up. And things, God will continue to raise them up. And things. Because that man or woman of God have a heart after God. God provides substance. God once asked Job if he, like the Lord, could feel the appetite of a young lion and provide food for the raven. And see Job 38:39-40. Verse 15 of Psalms 145 declares that the Almighty provides substance for all and knows well how to provide. And he is a good provider. The one who created all life now sustains that life by faithfully providing food in due season. God will provide. I don't care what the economy is saying. God is still going to provide for his people as never before. Now, God satisfies our desires. David praised the Lord for supplying necessary food for every living creature, but his thanksgiving even extended beyond that. You open your hand and satisfy every living thing with favor. Psalms 145 and 16. That comes from the Amplified Bible. God shares his bountiful with the beasts of the field. And he noticed when a single sparrow fell to the ground or fall to the ground. If he does that for an animal, how much more does he love us? God deals in righteousness. No one will ever be able to accuse the Lord of injustice. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works, Psalms 145 and 17. The word righteous means just or lawful. Not only is the Lord altogether righteous in his character, he is totally righteous in all his judgments. See Revelation 16 and 7, Revelation 19 and 2. The Lord is too holy and not to judge the sin of mankind, and yet God is too merciful not to reach out to save from his sin. Psalms 145 and 19 state, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry. When we look at the Bible again, we're going to look here at this next point. God is near when we call. We may wonder what kind of God is this high and lofty one who said, I dwell in a high and holy place. But with him also, who is a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, Isaiah 55 and 57 and 17, the Amplified Bible stated, The fact is that those who humbly seek the Lord for forgiveness will attract God's attention. David spoke of God's compassion and mercy. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, Psalms 145:18. We must recognize, child of God, that God is the one that is nigh, and God will undergird we, his people, as never before. And things. And if you call unto God and asking of God forgiveness, you're getting God's attention. Because a broken and a contrite spirit, God would not despise. God would not despise a repentant person, a person who repented and asked of God's forgiveness. God's not going to despise them because God looks upon their heart and upon their mind and their heart and things. And he's not going to despise or turn his heart from him, but you'll get God's attention when you repent. That's why God said repent and things. Now here, let's look at another point. God deserved praise forever. While many sacrificed bullocks and lambs, David had discovered that these offerings were inadequate. God delighted in the sacrifice of righteousness, justice, and right. Psalm 51:9, the Amplified Bible. David knew that God deserved the highest praise, a sacrifice that comes only from a clean heart and a righteous spirit. See Psalms 51:10 and Psalm 15. Also Hebrews 13:15, in an exuberant expression of thanksgiving. David closed his Psalms with the word, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord," and he exalted all flesh to bless his holy name forever and ever. And so David closed that beautiful psalm in admonishing and exhorting the people for us to bless his holy name forever and ever. David wanted us to bless the Lord forever and ever. Now let's look here in our closing. Praise is not a solemn ceremony or rehearsed ritual. Rather, praise is a joyful celebration that proclaims God's goodness. We praise the Lord for his wonderful works and his everlasting mercy. Spontaneous applause is appropriate, and exuberant shouts of joy are fitting, but solemnness and sadness are out of place. Jesus taught that even when we fast, we are not to do it as hypocrite or exhibit a sad countenance, wanting everyone to see their suffering. Matthew 6:16. Praise for the Lord lends itself to music and song. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalms 102. Praise, whether written, spoken, or sung, helps to lift the heart upward to the Lord. We too can share in the psalmist's enthusiasm for the true and living God. Our mouth can speak of the wonderful work as we raise our voices in adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is so worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. As we lift our hands in praise and adoration unto the Lord Almighty, God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be lifted up. If we have a mind to praise him and to give him and to show forth the praises of our Lord. And so that's what God wants us to do. Think about the goodness. Think about the mercies of God and begin to just start extolling and praising God. When the enemy wants you to think on all of the trouble that you're going on through and all the things that you don't have, you got to make it up in your mind and say, my lips will praise the Lord, and I will show forth the praises that is due unto his holy name, and give him the praise and give him the honor that's due unto his holy name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, and the beautiful for situation. Lord, we praise your name. We glorify your name. We lift your name up and give you the glory that's due unto your name, oh God. We thank you for all of your beautiful creation, dear God. We thank you because you are magnificent. You're the wonderful God, the creator of all things, the one that have all power in his hand and that can do all things but fail. And we worship and we praise your beautiful and wonderful name, dear God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And so, child of God, we must learn how to extol God and extol praises unto God and to give God all the praise that's due unto his holy name. We need to learn how to declare who God is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is even the lily in the valley, the bright and morning star. He is wonderful. He's excellent. He's all bountiful and all powerful and is majestic. And talk about how eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. God, we praise your existence. We praise your wonderful work. And when you begin to just give him the daily praise that's due unto him and declare God's goodness, that how God, his greatness is unsearchable. The psalmist over in 145 and 3 said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. God's work is spans generation from generation. And when you begin to tell him how from generation, our lips will praise him. And when we begin to talk about God's wonderful works are to be declared and to start declaring God's wonders and his wonderful works in the house of the Lord, in among our city. Lord, we praise you for the wonderful splendor of your handiwork and your work among us. When you begin to extol how gracious God is and how full of compassion you are, and how he's such a wonderful God. He's slow to anger and full of compassion. And when you begin to extol God in that manner, God will bless you. God will give you the glory. God will praise you, and God will just lift you up out of that dungeon in your heart and mind of being overwhelmed by the vicissitudes of life. And all the works shall praise him. All the saints will praise and declare his glory, because he is, and his kingdom is mighty and glorious. His kingdom is powerful. His kingdom is majestic and everlasting. And when you begin to start praising God in that manner, God will be glorified and lifted up. And talk about how that God will lift you, and God will provide, and God will satisfy, and God will deal with us in righteousness, and that God is ever near unto us, and God deserves all the praise forever and ever. And when you begin to extol God like that, in spite of what you see, God, you are a deliverer. And what the adversary wants to do is get fixated on the things that is going on in your life. But when you can begin to just say, God, you are my greatest provider. You are a strong deliverer. When you look at your son and see the condition that your son is in, don't get disheartened by that. Don't get overthrown by that. Begin to exude God and extol God and say, God, you are the deliverer. You can deliver my child, and I thank you for delivering him. And just say, Lord, for the next 21 days, I'm just going to extol you for my son's deliverance. I'm going to extol you for my daughter's deliverance. And when you begin to extol God in the midst of your trouble, that's when deliverance comes. That in the midst of that, you can extol and give God the praise. Don't succumb to the trial. Don't succumb and buckle under what you see, but extol God for the deliverer in his name. Lord, in Jesus' name, I extol you, and I lift your holy and your mighty name up, that you are his deliverer. You're my husband's deliverer. You're my son's deliverer. You're the deliverer of my finances. You're my provider, even not in this economy, but in your economy. praise God. We extol you. You are the provider. You're the way maker, dear God. And we extol your great name, dear God, and give you the wonderful, wonderful praises, O Lord. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, dear God. And as you begin to extol the Lord, God will bountifully, wonderfully bless and keep you as never before, child of God. And we praise his holy name because he is a wonder in our soul and he can do all things but fail. And I pray from this lesson today that you'll begin to lift Jesus up. The Bible said, if I be lifted up above this earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And even though he was lifted up from the cross, we got to lift him up in our spirit and lift it up in our tongues and our hearts and our mind and keep lifting the Savior up in our praise. God got it, and he will work it out. He will open the door. He's able to change the heart and mind of men. Amen. As never before, God will do it. God will do it. And watch God's mighty outstretched hand bless his people as never before. And like I said, I pray that you was blessed today. I pray that God that have undergird you and fortify and strengthen you through this lesson on today. Learn to praise God in whatever situation that comes on and you find yourself in, learn how to praise God, and God will forever strengthen you and undergird you and fortify you. So go back, child of God, and believe God all over again. That's why I said dream again, believe again, that God is able. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And remember, in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you, yes, you, child of God, you are just one prayer away from your blessing. All you need to do is just ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so we must begin to ask, child of God, as never before. If you don't have it, God got it. And you, one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is just ask of God, and he will bring it to pass. Remember, there is a miracle between your nose and chin right there in your mouth. The Bible said it's nigh thee, even in your mouth. All you need to do is ask of him. And I'm going to pray in my closing and asking God, Father, we pray a release. And I declare and I decree a release in the life of your people, Lord, as never before. I decree, oh God, right now over your people, over the airway, Father, Lord, your blessed and your sovereign will to be done, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that you undergird and you fortify your people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we praise your blessed name and give you the glory. Lord, I call a release of praise. Open the eyes of your people and do them with the Holy Ghost and their power from on high, that they may proclaim your praise here in earth, in their homes, on their jobs, in their spirit, in their automobile, everywhere they come. Let them be a praise, oh God. And we thank you and we praise your blessed name, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray, to the glory of our Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just want to say, may God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, God blessings be upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.